good morning. It's May 4th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Oil prices easing slightly after President Trump says the US will guide stranded ships out of the Strait of Hormuz. Iran calling that a ceasefire violation and already firing on at least two vessels. In a moment, I'll be speaking with Israel's Deputy Foreign Minister, Sharon Haskel, about the war with Iran and about Israel's ongoing diplomatic challenges. First, though, your headlines. Iran has called on the United States to drop what it calls excessive demands. The US Navy is now guiding ships stuck in the Strait of Hormuz with around 20,000 seafarers stranded amid Iran's blockade. The US Central Command says 15,000 American personnel are deployed, backed by aircraft, warships and drones. President Trump launched what he's calling Operation Freedom after he rejected Iran's latest proposal. The chief diplomat on the Board of Peace, Nikolai Mladenov, is expected in Israel today. He's set to push for increased aid into Gaza and limits on IDF operations in the Strip. Mladenov has been in talks with Hamas for weeks, urging disarmament as part of a broader plan. Hamas refuses and insists on a full IDF withdrawal and a continued political role. The group has also been holding internal elections with a possible runoff between Khaled Mashal and Khalil al-Haya. And it's into the lion's den for Israel's Eurovision contestant Noam Beitan. But far from hiding away, he's unveiled a massive diamond stage prop in Vienna, the largest used by any act this year. He's performing his hit Michelle alongside five dancers, with the structure doubling as a mirrored chamber designed to create an infinite visual effect. Israel's previous Eurovision contestants have had to take part under tight security, with some even having to wear disguises when going out in public. Noam will be back on stage Wednesday ahead of next week's semi-final at the Eurovision Song Contest 2026. Before we get to today's conversation, a quick thank you to our sponsors. Susie and Kerry Friedman made today's episode possible. If you'd like to sponsor the show, contact us at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Israel's Deputy Foreign Minister, Sharon Haskel. Let's start with Iran. Do you think President Trump's plan is working? Will this force Iran to ultimately give up its nuclear program?
Absolutely. Look, I think that there isn't much of a choice. The siege that is being taken right now is strangling the IRGC and the Revolutionary Guards from an economical perspective. And so, we've already destroyed much of their capability, their military capability. And so I truly believe this is only a matter of time before full collapse. I know the IRGC know that as well. The leadership is quite divided inside, internally as well. There's many voices that speak. They literally worship a cardboard, okay? The leadership, the leader, whether he is alive, not alive, able to speak, not able to function, no one truly knows. And so there's a huge division, there's a huge debate, and I truly believe it is only a matter of time.
Israel today is arguably militarily much safer than it was a few years ago. Diplomatically, things are much more difficult. Is that just how it's always going to be for Israel?
Look, I think in many cases, it's been like that for many years as well. You know, with other wars that we've experienced throughout our history, there were real embargoes, and it's an hypocrisy. It is a hypocrisy of the international community. Are we disappointed? Of course, but it is something that unfortunately, had happened in the past as well. I think the world now faces a different question, and I think the world is at a historic intersection where they need to make a decision what side of history they stand beside. And we see those two voices, those who support radical Islamists, where you can see literally demonstrations in support of terrorist organizations that are calling for the violence and the war and the chaos to come into their capitals, whether it is in Paris or in London. And there are those who are starting to wake up to the reality of those who are defending the values of freedom and democracy, of liberties. And this is a choice that almost every person in, Western civilization really needs to make right now. I know that we will survive it. Israel will survive it. Soberness of our society, of our children who are willing to stand up in order to defend their community and their country out of love, the love for their history and their culture, their tradition and their flag. I'm not sure I can say the same about, some European countries.
Well, on that note, we saw just how dangerous life has become for Jews in Western Europe just this week with the terrible attack in Golders Green in London. What is the focus of the Israeli government right now? Is it to try and persuade governments to make their Jews safer, or is it to just encourage people to make aliyah?
Oh, wow. For the last 2 years, we've been trying to push, really push hard on government to start act in order to defend their civilians, their minorities, the Jewish community in their own countries. And unfortunately, many governments failed their citizens, failed their Jewish community. And I can show you a list of interviews and articles and diplomatic meetings that we've had. And time again, we urge them to start taking actions. We shared intelligence information to make sure that they can keep them safe. But unfortunately, we didn't see barely any action taken. If you show me the levels of anti-Semitism in your society, I can really tell you how healthy is your society. And we're going back to a debate that was 100 years ago with the founders of Zionism and the founders of Israel. I call the Jewish community to move here to Israel, okay, to come and immigrate to Israel. I believe the first thing is that the Jewish community shouldn't be a shield and their blood shouldn't be spilled. Okay, and they shouldn't be those victims. And the second thing is that I truly believe that only once the Jews will leave, like they've done in many other countries, like my family from Morocco and hundreds of thousands of Jews from Algeria and Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, only then the Christian community will wake up to understand that it's not about the Jews. It's about extremism. It's about radical Islam. Because right now it is Christians who are persecuted in those countries that we had to leave, that my family had to leave, where there's no more Jewish community. And when the Jewish community will leave Europe and will immigrate here to Israel, there'll be no more excuses. And I really hope that that will bring a huge wave of awakening within Western democracies to what they actually need to fight for.
And just a very quick word on domestic politics. You are a vocal opponent of exemptions for the ultra-Orthodox, the Haredi in Israel. Would you sit with this government again?
I truly believe that the next government shouldn't be relying on their votes or on their parties. And I'll tell you why. And it's not just the ultra-Orthodox, it's also the Arab parties and also the Communist and Extreme Socialist Party who are creating this atmosphere of taking so much resources to places who do not create growth. It is not sustainable anymore. And it goes through the economy and through the contribution to the army and the security and the safety of our citizens. And it continues on to so many other subjects as well. And we had to put a stop for it. We had to make major reforms in order to create stability, safety from an economical perspective, from a security perspective. And we'll only be able to create that if the next government will not be relying on the ultra-Orthodox parties or the Arab parties.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. If you found this useful, do subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds. Thank you and goodbye.